welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and there's science fiction in this hour. Later on, a great story on Dimension X, but right now it's exploring tomorrow with the story The Mountain of Diamond. This from June 4th, 1958, from the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Now, step into the incredible, amazing future as we go exploring tomorrow. And now, here is your guide to these adventures of the mind, John Campbell, Jr.
Hate and love are really quite close to each other. Usually, hate stems from a misunderstanding of something which, properly understood, would make love. One of the concepts that many people don't see, miss, just get all wrong, is the fact that there is superiority and there is inferiority. But those things are specialized and narrowed into special areas. If you don't recognize them, the system won't work at all. If you do recognize them, well, you know, each must then recognize two things, that he is superior and that he's inferior. This is a story of a man who hadn't found out the importance of special superiority and special inferiority.
Phil, are you ready for a drink?
My name is not Philip. My name is Senga.
What?
Nothing.
You'd better drink this.
Thanks.
To our last night on Earth for some time to come. Or better yet, to this house where I was born. To the green mountains and jungles we've loved and hunted in. To all this we leave behind.
I was looking at her.
Yes, she's beautiful. The brightest planet of them all.
She's dark and she's ugly.
Not from this distance.
From here, no. But she's ugly.
The ancients didn't think so when they named her Venus.
They never got there.
No. But you did. You've been there.
So will you. Tomorrow you'll be on your way. We both will.
Sen, you've never talked much about the place.
I told you it's hot. Very hot.
Animals?
A great many. But I saw only a few. You mostly only hear them. Once I wanted to go hunting. Your father said no. Couldn't forget I was Indian.
You and I have hunted here, so don't talk rot.
Your father never approved. All right, he picked me up in the mountains here when I was 4 years old. He brought me to this house. Now I am 32 with 28 years of education and civilization behind me, but I am still Indian. All right, Guido. Tell me I have a complex.
No. But ever since you came back from Venus, you've had a chip on your shoulder. Now, come on, fella. You and I grew up like brothers. There's no difference between us.
Isn't there?
And you're a first-rate space pilot, as good as my father was.
As good as you, too?
Just as good. After all, you brought the ship back to Earth alone. Oh, almost alone, anyway. You had my father's body with you. He was a great man, Sen. The greatest space explorer of this age.
Yes, he was a great man.
At least it was you who shared his last minutes. You he chose to go with him on that trip. He thought quite a lot of you.
It was not a matter of choice that he took me along.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing. I've said more than I intended.
I have a right to know, Phil.
Yes, yes. When we get there, let's call it a night. We blast off at dawn. We need sleep. Green light.
Blast off.
Coffee?
Thanks, I can use a cup.
A quarter of a million miles out in space before morning coffee. Not bad, eh?
Phil.
Yes?
My father was not the first man to land on Venus. But no one else, so far as we know, found diamonds there.
No one else ever went to the right area. Besides, you use the word diamond in the plural sense. The singular would be more correct. The peak of this mountain is one solid diamond, pushed up there from the interior by volcanic action. A slab of diamond that must weigh 7,000 tons.
If it's true, then diamonds back home will become absolutely worthless.
Not immediately. And what happens later will not concern us.
Why didn't you bring back a sample?
There were many reasons. You'll understand when you get there.
There's a lot you haven't told me.
A great deal, yes, but it can wait. Let's play some chess.
Exploring Tomorrow continues in just a moment.
All of us, as American citizens, believe in our inherent liberties and freedoms, such as the freedom of association, assembly, and action. But if you will read the First Amendment to the Constitution, you will notice that it is worded, "Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people peaceably to assemble." Whatever the association, assembly, or action, it must be accomplished peaceably. We are given the right to petition, for example, but that right cannot be used to bring malice upon others. We must assume the responsibility for the purposes and actions of associations and assemblies. And if we accept that responsibility, we ensure our freedom.
When a kid grows up, at a certain period of life, he stops being a child, and yet he is not yet a man. He's an adolescent, somewhere in between. This is one of the most critical areas of development. This is where we have our juvenile delinquents starting, becoming what they are. The juvenile delinquent is an adolescent gone wrong and misunderstanding. An adolescent is in the problem of inferiority and superiority. He's inferior to his parents. And it's a general inferiority, because the parents have greater experience, greater understanding, greater wisdom, simply by the sheer accumulation of understanding of problems they've had to solve and experience themselves.
We have to walk about a quarter of a mile through the jungle. Then we start to climb.
What? What's the matter?
Maybe hallucination.
You saw something?
No, someone.
Oh?
A man, half naked, a savage. You saw him, too.
Yes, I glimpsed him.
There are people here.
That's right.
You told the newspapers you saw no sign of people.
I didn't feel like telling the newspapers all I saw any more than your father did after his first trip here. Oh, yes, Guido. He knew about these people. He never told anyone.
They're human, like us.
Descendants from a group of people who came here from Earth millions of years ago. People more advanced in science than we are today. Only through the years they lost their knowledge, reverted to the jungle. At least, that was your father's theory.
Are they hostile?
I'm not sure.
They've seen the ship before, of course.
Yes, they've seen it before. They know we come out of space.
It's fantastic. Descendants of Earth people, it's as fantastic as your Diamond Mountain.
The Diamond Mountain is very real. Come, we have a long walk.
How far up are we?
About 1,000 feet above ground level, I'd say.
The air's thin. Shouldn't be this thin at only 1,000 feet.
Nevertheless, it is.
I can hardly breathe.
It won't get much worse. Stick it out.
We should have brought oxygen masks.
It's too hot. It'd be impractical.
That's right. Maybe it's the heat, not so much the thin air. I feel as though I'm being scorched up.
Save your breath. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Oh, we've still got to climb, that's right. I feel like I can't go much further.
Try.
I can't. Sorry, Phil.
You did better than I thought, as a matter of fact. Much better than your father.
What?
He collapsed about 100 yards further back, but of course he was much older. Don't look so shocked.
I don't understand.
It is simple to understand. This is the place where I discovered I am not of an inferior race. Here in this place, I was your father's superior. Now I am your superior. I can live where you can die, where he died.
You let him die?
No, no, I didn't want him to die. I wanted to enjoy my sense of superiority. I carried him back, but it was too late. He was too weakened.
I can't think properly.
But I can. Your father wanted you to come here for the diamond. It was an easy promise for me to give him. I wanted to bring you here. I wanted to realize my superiority.
It's crazy kind of talk. That's crazy. You're like my brother. He was like your father.
Oh, no, no. He was the great Paulo Santos. Perhaps the greatest explorer and ship designer of his day. He built our ship. He was the scientist supreme, superior man. And you're his natural son. Guido, look up there. I said look up there. You can see the diamond peak.
Some kind of rock. Crystal rock.
No, no, pure diamond. I have been up there. I chipped a piece off. I brought it back here to your father. He knew it was diamond. He lived just long enough to confirm that. I can reach the diamond, you see. But you can't. No one of your race could, but I can.
I've got to get to lower ground.
Not without my help. See, you're too weak to move. You must depend on me.
You're crazy.
Oh, no. I won't let you die. But I'll take away your sidearms. I can't have you armed. How does it feel, Guido?
Feel?
About superior man suddenly confronted by superiority of an inferior race.
I've got to get to lower ground.
A situation that reflects the law of the universe, Guido. Your father was always talking about that. Well, I don't want you to die. I want you to live so that you can serve me. I get you to lower ground.
You know, hate has a very real place in life. We need it. Man is unique among the living things on this planet in that he does have hate. Man hated the wolf. He hated the cave bear. He eliminated those species that were just not tolerable. Hate has a good side. Hate has a place. The difficulty is when the hate is misplaced, when it is generalized and not specialized to the point where it belongs, to the thing that is really wrong. I'm afraid Phil misunderstood and had his hate directed in the wrong direction. It wasn't a race he hated. He just thought he did. What he hated was to have someone who was older and wiser than he himself. And now he had misplaced it to another guy who was trying to do a good job with him.
You won't have any use for sidearms, so don't try to get them back. If you do, I'll kill you.
What do you have in mind?
I have a plan, but I'll need to have the help of the people here. You can't reach the diamond, but I can, and so can they. Our job is to get them to carry the drilling equipment up that hill so that I can start chipping the diamond.
You think they'll work for you?
They're afraid of me. After your father died, they attacked, and I had to kill some of them with a blaster. That's why they don't show themselves now. It may take a little while, but I've got to make them understand that they must do what I want.
Suppose you succeed.
Well, when I leave here, I'll take away enough diamond to convert into enough cash that will make me just about the richest man on Earth. Once I've done that,
What about me?
You.
Won't I be an obstacle?
No.
You'll do away with me.
Not here. I'll wait until we're out in space.
Just like that.
I'm afraid so. It's funny, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. You identify yourself with what you call an inferior race and resent the people who made you our intellectual equal.
Human nature. I should feel grateful instead, eh? Is that it?
You've been shown nothing but kindness. Gratitude wouldn't be out of place.
If you only knew how I hated that word.
I know. Some people do. It makes them squirm. They cry for help. They get it and they hate you for it.
I didn't cry for help.
Yes. You were a child of four, abandoned in the jungle. You were crying when my father found you. You'd have died or been killed by some animal. Or survived and just been a savage.
Now it's coming out. Everything you and your father felt about me.
I'm sorry for you.
You sorry for me.
I hold the reins.
No.
No,
history is full of people like you. The little upstarts with a lust for power and hatred. You never last long. The law of the universe never tolerates you.
Law of the universe. You sound like your father.
That's nice to know, Phil. By the way, we're being watched.
I know that.
You'd better let me have my side on it.
Not a chance.
You said these people were scared.
They are.
Not scared enough. That's another law of the universe and a lesson from history. People are never too scared to resist an invader. And we're invaders.
They won't resist if I turn this blaster on them again.
The ones you kill won't.
I don't want to kill them. I want to talk to them.
In what language?
Sign language. What else?
You can try.
It may take weeks or months.
Well, what happens in the meantime?
We'll go back to the ship. There's open space there. Sooner or later, a few of them will approach us. Then I'll try to talk to them.
Then we better start down, unless we're surrounded.
I'll blast our way through if there's trouble. Come on. Keep ahead of me where I can see you.
No trouble.
You see? I'm sure I spotted a couple.
Shadows. All right. We're about a quarter of a mile from the ship. Come on. Keep in front.
Get down. A slingshot. Piece of rock.
Yes, it hit this tree instead of one of us.
Piece of rock. Here it is.
A diamond the size of a small egg.
Diamonds for ammunition. This planet must be crawling with diamonds. Keep down. Yeah. I blast them to kingdom come.
But we're the first ones in history to be stoned with diamonds. Better pick them up.
You pick them up. If I could just see where those savages are.
They're not too close. We can't stay here. Come on before they close in from all sides. You may not have time to shoot in all directions.
All right. We push on. Hear anything?
No, but I've got a feeling they see us.
The ship is pretty close now.
To use a gun once. Better keep quiet. You have a nasty cut on your head. We're going back to report to the World Council. Every country in the world has a stake in this matter. The Council will decide what to do about the diamonds, not us.
Why didn't you leave me there? To them.
Let's say two basic laws came into conflict. The law of the universe decreed your death. You're alive only because of the basic law of civilized human nature, compassion. You've still got to learn that, Phil. Nothing will change that.
Yourself and a lot of other people around you mighty unhappy if you try to have all values and be able to do everything. Consider yourself tops at anything around. None of us has that ability. We can't do it all. But each of us has his own special talents, his own individual abilities. And for these, every one of us is valuable. And every one of us needs every other one for that special individual talent. No individual is everything. The other guy's got something you need.
Thank you.
Heard in our cast tonight were Mason Adams and Donald Bucher. The script was by John Fleming. Produced and directed by Sanford Marshall here in New York. This is Guy Wallace speaking.
We pause now for station identification.
Exploring Tomorrow on Tuned to Yesterday from June 4th, 1958 on the Mutual Network, featuring the distinctive voice of actor Mason Adams, who appeared in three broadcasts of that series in 1958. Best known on radio for his starring role in Pepper Young's Family. Early in his radio career, he appeared in hundreds of radio shows, and through the end of radio's golden age, was heard often on the NBC Radio Theater, Suspense, and Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a story from Dimension X, which was good enough to make it to another series, X-1, on the same network, NBC. That's Robert Heinlein's The Roads Must Roll. The first airing of the story, we hear next, from NBC, from September 1st, 1950.
Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X.
Can you predict the future? Can you tell what will come in 100 years, or in 10, or in the next minute? Tonight, Dimension X brings you a glimpse of what may well happen within your own lifetime. The Robert Heinlein story, The Roads Must Roll. It was in the middle 1950s that the automotive age began to die. The traffic engineers had long expected it. For years, they had watched our vast cities sprawl and spread out, spill over into the countryside, become more and more dependent on motor transportation. And then finally, the inevitable breaking point was reached. The growing flood of cars and buses and trucks began to swamp the streets and arterial highways. The building of roads could no longer keep pace. The superhighways clogged, congested, became packed with cars stalled bumper to bumper. And the cities began to die of slow strangulation, for the traffic could no longer roll. And then the engineers took over. They banned the automobiles, tore up the superhighways, and in their place they built the rolling roads. Mechanized roads that moved like huge conveyor belts, whirling along on their giant rotors at speeds ranging from 5 to 100 miles an hour, carrying the freight, the food, and the people from city to city and coast to coast. An engineering miracle had changed the face of a nation. The automobiles and railroads vanished. The rolling roads had taken over all transportation. And no one worried over the fact that if the roads should ever stop, our whole economic life would stop. For the machinery had never failed yet. The machinery that rolled the roads was perfect. But people forgot that machinery depends on men, the men who run it.
Who makes the roads roll?
We do!
That's right! The engineers! Not the supervisors, not the mechanic union, but the engineers! We're the brains of the roads! And where would the public be if we didn't keep those roads out there rolling? Right behind the eight ball, and everybody knows it. All right, then. We're the men who hold the power. And it's time we started using it.
Right.
We've called this meeting of the Engineers Control Committee because that's what we want to do, control.
Your time, boy.
Because I'm tired of taking orders from the Transport Commission, from slick desk jockeys like Jim Gaines, who don't even know a rotor bearing from a field car. Let Gaines yammer about our duty to the public. That's a lot of eyewash. We've got the power, and we're the men that count. It's time we quit fiddling around and use a little direct action to get what we want.
Let's go! Mr. Chair! The chair recognizes Brother Harvey of the Transport Mechanics Union.
Thanks, boys.
I don't rightly belong here since I'm no engineer. I'm just here to represent the workers' union. But I want to know what's all the shooting for. You engineers have got better working conditions than we have, and we ain't kicking. You say you engineers are powerful. You say you can tie up the road.
That's right.
Well, listen. So can any screwball with a jar of nitroglycerin.
Hey, what's eating here?
Yeah, and he don't need no engineering degree neither.
Harvey, are you speaking for your union now? Or are you here as a stooge for the transport commission?
Yeah. Listen, I helped found my union, and I led the strike in 75 for decent working conditions. Where were you engineers then, huh? With the thing!
Remember, you're only a guest at this meeting.
Go on, man.
Now, listen, man. I'm one of the old engineers on the road. You all worked up the hard work. We didn't go to the fancy technical institutes like those young punk cadets the commission is training to take over our jobs.
That's right, man.
Jim Gaines, don't fill us full of the old school spirit and that baloney about how the roads must roll. So, all right, then. Why don't we get smart for a change? What would happen if the roads stopped rolling? Maybe the country would begin to realize that they can't do without us. And maybe we'd begin to get the things we want. The roads must go!
Yes?
Your wife is calling, Mr. Gaines.
All right, put her on.
I want you to stop off on your way home and
Sorry, darling. I can't make it.
Oh, but you promised.
Yes, I know, but Washington called in. They're sending Evans, the Australian Minister of Transport, through my sector today. I've got to show him through personally.
Well, can't somebody else?
Well, I'm chief supervisor. It wouldn't be courteous.
Darling, courtesy begins at home. I've planned this dinner for weeks.
Honey, the roads must roll.
Jim, if you quote that nauseating slogan at me again, I'll divorce you.
Well, I can't help it, darling. I tell you, I'll meet you at Stockton at 9. We'll take in a show.
Yes.
Kiss Alan goodnight for me.
All right, dear. Goodbye.
Bye, darling.
But you promised.
Yes,
I know. Mr. Evans is here.
Send him in.
Go right in, sir.
Well, good evening, Mr. Evans. I'm Gaines, chief engineer.
How do you do, Mr. Gaines?
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. They told me at the embassy you'd be the man to see.
Oh?
I want to know how the roads work.
I think we can handle that.
I'm not a technical man, Mr. Gaines. My field is sociology. And suppose you tell me about the roads as if I were entirely ignorant.
Well, fine. Well, it's nearly dinner time. Suppose we run up to Stockton sector for dinner.
All right.
Take us about an hour on the roads, and you can see them working.
Excellent.
If you'll excuse me for a minute.
Of course.
Hi, Chief. What can I do for you?
Oh, Dave, you're on the evening watch, huh? Where's Van Cleek?
Oh, going to some meeting.
I'm going up to Stockton for dinner. Anything to report?
No, sir. Rolling.
Okay, keep them rolling. All right, Mr. Evans, let's go. This here is the low-speed strip. You ever ridden a conveyor before?
No.
That's quite simple. Remember to face the motion of the strip as you get on.
Well, that's it.
All right.
We'll go right across here. Each adjoining strip is a few miles an hour faster than the one next to it.
I see.
Freight is carried on the 50-mile strip. Most passenger traffic is on the express strip.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now, watch your step.
All right.
Here we are, maximum speed.
100 miles an hour. Amazing.
This strip makes a round trip San Diego to Reno in 12 hours.
Oh.
Oh, here's the restroom. Ready to eat?
But is this a restaurant?
There's a sign, Jake's Steakhouse, fastest meal on the road.
Is it really a proper restaurant?
Yeah, well, the best. Hooked right into the moving strip, of course. Shall we go in?
Hello there, Mr. Gaines. We don't see much of you out on the road.
Well, busy in the office, Jake.
Oh, you, right this way.
Thank you.
Here they are. Now, what'll it be?
Well, you order it, Jake.
Well, how about a steak? 2 inches thick from a steer that died happy.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Plug me in the intercom, will you, Jake?
Sure, there's a talk box right next to you. Plank 2, Ryan.
If you excuse me, Mr. Evans.
Davidson on watch.
This is the chief, Davidson. I'm at Jake's Steakhouse. You can reach me at 10L66.
10L66, right.
There now. They can get a hold of me in an emergency now.
Mr. Gaines, what kind of an emergency could there be?
Well, two principally. Power failure on the rotors would bring the road to a standstill.
Mm-hmm. If
that happened during rush hour, we'd have to evacuate millions of people.
Well, as many as that?
Oh, yes, easily. There are 12 million people dependent on this section of road. Gaines here.
Hello, Chief. David. I just got the hourly reports in.
Proceed.
That engineer Gunther, while on watch, was found playing cards with C.J. Ross, technician on duty.
Any damage?
One rotor running hot, but still synchronized. It was jacked down and replaced.
All right. Have the paymaster give Ross his time. Turn him over to civil authorities. Place Cadet Gunther under arrest. Bring him to Road Town Central.
Yes, sir.
All right. Keep him rolling. As I was saying, Evans, there are two possibilities of danger. Can you visualize what would happen if the strip under us would break?
I haven't thought of that. You don't realize you're traveling at 100 miles an hour.
Well, it can't break, not now. The strip has a safety factor of over 12 to 1. Mm-hmm. This is good soup, Jake.
Thank you, Mr. Gaines.
But you know, Evans, a break did happen once in the early days. That was on the Philadelphia-Jersey City Road.
Dear me, no.
That's right. The strip wasn't much more than a conveyor belt then. You know, it buckled for miles, crushing passengers against the roof. Yeah. Forward section in front of the brake spilled them down under into the rotors and the rollers.
Was it very bad?
Over 3,000 people were killed in that break. But, Evans, the roads had to go on. You know, the entire economic system hangs on the roads. If they stop now, the country would starve.
Isn't it possible that you've become too dependent on these roads, Mr. Gaines? For example, what if you had a strike?
We had a strike back in 75, but... there's not much danger of that anymore.
Oh, why not?
Every cadet that goes to work on the roads today is a graduate of the United States Transport Academy.
Oh, I see.
They're all picked men, screened for emotional stability. They're trained to give us the same kind of loyalty that Annapolis and West Point develop in their men.
You're a graduate, I suppose, Mr. Gaines?
No, I was too old for that. The academy wasn't set up till after the strike in 75. But it won't be long now, maybe 5 or 10 years, Evans, before the oldest engineer on the roads is a man who's been through that academy. Now, Gaines, sir.
Davidson, Chief, there's trouble in Sacramento.
What is it? What's happening?
Emergency stop. Hello. Hello, Davidson. The phones must be out. Come on. Jake!
What's the matter?
Have everybody stay in the restroom, Jake.
What's that?
Probably somebody stepped onto the next strip. Got cut to ribbons. There'll be plenty of casualties. Jake, where's your getaway hatch?
In the pantry.
Well, how am I going to help those people?
I've got the whole road to think of. Now, don't bother me. Give me a hand, Jake. This hatch is stuck here. All right, if you're coming with me, Mr. Evans,
all
you've
right.
got to move fast. I haven't got any time to waste. Freeway on top of the inner road ceiling.
No.
That's the outer shell over us there.
But are we going outside?
No, there'll be an access down manhole over here. They're spaced every 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's there by the green light.
I got you.
All right, this will get us down on the northbound road. Careful now, it's dark.
All right.
Stand away from that door, Evan.
But this road is still rolling.
Yeah, so it is. It was only the 100-mile strip that stopped. There's what I want, a phone booth. Look out, Evans. Excuse me, will you?
Hey.
Out.
I'm talking to my wife. What?
Don't argue. Out.
Out of all.
Emergency priority. Division office.
Davidson?
Gaines here. Report.
Chief, where you been? I've been calling...
Never mind that report.
709 report. Strip 20 past emergency level. Interlocks acted and cut the strip out. Cause of failure unknown. Direct communication to Sacramento control office out. Evacuation of strip 20 commenced. No casualties.
There are casualties. I saw them. Put police and hospital routine A into operation. Get me Van Cleek. I want him to take over for me till I report in.
We can't reach him, Chief. Shall I cut out the rest of the road?
No, keep those other strips rolling or we'll have a traffic jam the devil himself couldn't untangle. There are 5 million passengers on that road now. Notify the governor that I've assumed emergency authority. Arm all cadets available and await orders.
Shall I recall technicians off watch?
No, this isn't an engineering failure, man. That whole sector went out simultaneously. Somebody cut those rotors by hand. Now, I want all available senior class cadets to report to Stockton Subsector Office 10 with pistols and tear gas.
Yes, sir. The governor wants to talk to you. He called in.
Refer him to somebody else. I'm busy. I'll get back to you. I'm going down under. Can't hear without an anti-noise filter. All right, come on.
What are we looking for?
A recon car. There should be one here.
Are those the rotors?
Yeah, the big ones are rotors. They drive the road. The little ones are rollers. They give continuous support.
I see.
Oh, there's a watch gang now, jacking down a rotor.
Can they hear us?
No, the noise filter works on a 4-foot radius. I'll flash them. He sees the light.
Is that posted reporting, sir?
I want your recon car, emergency.
Yes, sir. Right over here, sir.
Come on, Evans. Get in.
Well, it's so small.
Well, you fit. All right. Now, hang on. She accelerates like a rocket.
Oh, my stomach.
Relay station.
This is Gaines. Get me Davidson, senior watch officer.
Mr. Gaines, the mayor wants to talk.
I haven't got time. Get me Davidson. Leave this circuit hooked into Davidson's board until I tell you to cut it.
Yes, sir. Here's the senior watch officer.
Davidson?
Gaines calling. Have you found out yet what's stopping the roads?
No, sir. It's still a mystery to me.
All right. I'm on my way in a recon car. Hold everything till I get there.
Reporting, sir. 3 platoons of cadet engineers standing by with Tumblebug motorcycles.
Are they armed?
Pistols and tear gas is ordered.
All right, good.
Assistant Supervisor Van Cleek is calling you on Circuit 9.
Well, it's about time. Cut me in.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Van. Where are you?
Sacramento office. Now,
Sacramento, that's good. Report.
In a pig's eye.
What?
I'm not your deputy anymore, Gaines.
Van, what are you talking about?
Don't interrupt me and you'll find out. It's true, Gaines. I've been picked as director of the Engineers Control Committee. We're taking over.
Have you gone off your rotor?
You can't start strip 20 until I'm ready to let you.
Van!
I can stop the whole road if I have to.
Van Creek, I'll call in the army.
How'll you get him here if the roads aren't rolling, eh? Listen, Gaines. Whoever controls the roads controls the country. And right now, that happens to be me. Sign off, Gaines. I've got to call the White House. You behave yourself. You won't get hurt.
I don't believe it, sir.
He's got us, Edmonds. If we go in and blast him out, he may wreck the road. What's your rolling tonnage now?
53% under evening peak, sir.
How about strip 20?
Almost evacuated.
Yeah. Listen in on this, Davidson.
Standing by, Chief.
I'm going down inside with these cadets. We're going to work north, overcoming any resistance that we may meet. The watch technicians and maintenance crews are to follow behind us. Each rotor, as they come to it, is to be cut out from under Sacramento's control, then hooked into the Stockton control board. You understand?
Got it.
Check.
If it works right, we can move control of Sacramento sector right out from under Van's feet. And he can stay in his office there till he's hungry enough to be reasonable. Edmonds, get me a pistol.
Now, Mr. Gaines, there's a man here, and he's badly hurt. He wants to see you.
Take care of him. I haven't got time to...
He's from Sacramento sector.
What?
Sir.
Send him in here.
Mr. Gaines.
Take it easy, man.
Mr. Gaines.
You're Harvey from the mechanic show, you know.
Yeah. Tried to warn you. Tried to get away. Shot me. 3 times.
Get a doctor, will you? All right, now. Easy, Harvey. Harvey, how long is this? been building up.
Isn't the man? It's the engineers. I told them they were crazy. Told them the road's got a roll. And when I tried to get away...
Easy now. Bleeding from the mouth.
Harvey.
You
understand? Got it. Harvey? Can you hear me?
He's dead, Mr. Gaines.
Come on, Edmonds. We better move. All right, you man. You saw Harvey brought in. How many of you want a chance to kill the louse that did it? All right, man. Anybody who hasn't got his mind on his job will be in the way. Now, here's the order. We move north, mounted on tumblebugs. We're going to try to regain control, rotor by rotor, before Sacramento sector knows what we're moving. Now, we've got to capture any watch personnel we run on before they can get word back, you understand? Man, surprise is vital. Use tear gas when possible. Shoot only when necessary.
Harvey.
But get them before they can reach your phone, Jack.
Can you hear me?
Any questions? No? Then move out. What's the score, Edmonds?
33 prisoners so far. No one killed.
Crook. For years since I rode one of these tumblebugs. Forgotten how to steer it.
There's a man ahead. There at the rotor base.
Yeah, he's got a phone jacked in. Hurry. If he gets word back, we're sunk.
I don't think he's seen us. I'll dismount. Get him.
All right.
Halt! We're on fire!
Quick, he sees us.
Come here, you.
Look out, he's got a gun.
I got him, sir. I got him.
Grab his gun. Yeah, he had an intercom jacked in, all right. If he's got through to Sacramento office, it's going to be tough.
I don't know, sir. Maybe you can get the call through.
Listen.
The road.
Take off your noise filter. There. It's a road. The road is stopping. Halt your men.
Halt. Hold up there. Hold up.
Edmonds, there's a recon car coming up.
Relay station call for Mr. Gaines and the recon speaker.
Give it to me.
Here you are, sir.
Gaines here.
Davidson here, Chief. Van Cleek's calling you.
Who stopped the road?
He did.
Oh, he did he? All right, cut Van Cleek into me.
You thought I was falling, eh, Gaines? What do you think now?
All right, Van. The road has stopped. You've won this trick.
Then why don't you get smart and give up? You can't win.
You forgot something, Van. You can't lick the whole country.
Yeah? Gaines, I've got a switch button in my hand. If I push it, it'll blow 300 yards straight across the road. And then for good measure, I'll take an axe and wreck the control station before I leave.
That's pretty drastic, Van.
Yeah? If I blow this charge in the middle of Sacramento sector, it'll get an awful lot of people. There are plenty of shopkeepers still on Strip 20. That row of apartment houses next to the road will go.
Now, look, Van, you don't want to blow the road, neither do I. Suppose, Van, I come up to your headquarters and we talk this over. Two reasonable men ought to be able to make a settlement.
Is this some kind of a trick?
I'll come alone. Unarmed. My men will stay here.
All right. All right, Gaines. But one long move and I blow the road.
Now, we've got to hurry, Dave. If I take too long, Van Cleek will get edgy and set off that charge.
I can't understand it. The psych tests are rigid. We've never had a failure in the Hum-Wadsworth-Burton method. Then suddenly a whole sector goes sour. How could Van Cleek get a whole crew of psych-cleared men to revolt?
It's easy, Dave. As my deputy, he was ex officio personnel officer for the whole road. He must have been faking psych records for years, transferring maladjusted men into his sect.
I've got that personnel record, Mr. Gaines.
Oh, thank you. This is Van's record here. Masked introvert, inferiority rating 7, and comment, in spite of potential instability shown on Wadsworth Curve, this officer is especially adept in handling men. He's adept, all right. I haven't got time for any more, Dave.
Chief, are you actually going up there to Van Cleek's office?
I've got to.
They'll be armed. They'll kill you.
I'm going to take that chance.
Why don't you call in the army? He won't dare blow the road then.
Yes, he would. Look at that psych record there. He's putting up a big, brave front, but he's rotten inside. He wants to be taken seriously. He wants everybody to think he's the most dangerous man in this country. If I call the army in, he'll try to prove it by blowing the road.
But how can you stop him, Mr. Gaines? He'll have a gun. What'll you have?
What'll I have? Only a prayer. And what I know about Mr. Van Cleek.
All right, Gaines. Director Van Cleek will see you now.
Gaines, I want you to sign this now. The declaration of your recognition of the Engineers Control Committee. You've got 1 minute to sign it, Gaines, or I'll push this button and blow up the whole sector.
You better sign, Gaines.
You need this gorilla with the gun, Van?
Why, you...
Can't you handle one unarmed man alone?
All right, Harry, out.
But...
Out, out.
Yeah.
All right. Now sign. What's so funny?
You are, Van. You start a revolution because you think the engineers should control the road. Then when you've got control, the only thing you can think of to do is to blow it up. That's kind of silly, isn't it? Tell me what you're so scared.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, sitting there sweating all over that push button that you're holding. If your buddies knew how afraid you were, they'd probably throw you into the rotor.
I'm not afraid.
You're afraid of me right now, Van. You're afraid I'll have you on the carpet.
You've got 1 minute to find.
You're afraid the cadets won't salute you. You're afraid that they're laughing at you behind your back.
No, I'm not. You keep quiet now. I've got a gun here.
Yeah, you're afraid of using the wrong fork at dinner. You're afraid people are looking at you, Van, laughing at
I
you.
I am not. You dirty, stuck-up snob. Just because you went to a high-hat school, you think you're better than everybody, huh? You and your crummy little gold-braid cadet.
Van, you're a pathetic little shrimp. I understand you perfectly, Van. You're a third-rater. All your life, you've been afraid that someone would send you to the foot of the class, so you right out on your ear where you belong. I don't want to look at you anymore.
I'll show you. I'll put a bullet in you.
Put down that pop gun before you hurt yourself.
Don't you come near me now. Don't you come near me. I'll shoot. I'll shoot now.
Give me that, Van.
Let me go, will you?
Give me that pistol.
I thought if I wounded your little ego, you'd forget to push that button and pull a trigger instead.
I'm afraid
you'll never make a good executive, Van. They have to know when to punch buttons.
Davidson.
Gaines here.
Chief, are you all right?
I'm all right. Attack now, Davidson. Mop up. I'll hold the control room. I've got Van Cleek. I think his little revolution is just about over.
Mr. Gaines.
Oh, Mr. Evans, I forgot about you.
I've been waiting at the sector office.
Yes?
Is everything under control?
Yes, all's rolling. Those are the watch engineers going under to check Sacramento sector inch by inch now.
Remarkable organization. Remarkable.
Thank you.
Hourly's in, Chief. San Diego Circle rolling. Bakersfield, Fresno, Stockton.
Stockton, oh. No.
What's the matter, Chief?
It's trouble, Mr. Gaines?
There sure is. I promised to meet my wife at Stockton for a show. She's been waiting there since 9 o'clock last night.
Oh, dear me.
Dave, see if you can get her for me. Try the sector office.
All right, Chief.
And Dave... see if you can calm her down.
Oh, sure, Chief, sure. I'll tell her the road must roll.
No, don't tell her that. I don't think she'd appreciate that. She's heard it too often. Well, I better get going. Bye, Dave. Keep them rolling.
Rolling along, keep them rolling, and the roadways go rolling along.
I've just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X. Next week, the strange story of the test pilot who became the first man ever to invade outer space, and of what he found when he got there. Listen next week to The Outer Limit. Tonight's adventures in Dimension X, The Roads Must Roll, was written by Robert Heinlein and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Wendell Holmes as Gaines and Ralph Bell as Van Cleek. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King.
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 1st, 1950, on NBC. The story would be heard again on NBC's X-1 in January of 1956. And so closes this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.